It's said that elephants never forget, but I'm guessing that Daphne Sheldrick would love to rid her memory of the day in 1994 when a wild elephant tossed her through the air onto some boulders, shattering her right leg. It came as a big surprise to Dame Sheldrick, who has spent much of her life working to protect wildlife in Kenya's Tsavo National Park and was the first person ever to successfully raise an orphaned elephant infant to maturity. She describes her pioneering work not just with orphaned elephants, but also rhinos, buffalo, zebras, and many other animals in her memoir, Love, Life, and Elephants. It's published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux, and I'm very pleased that it brings her to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Well, you spent almost all your life around elephants. You got to know many of them on an almost personal level. Do you have any idea of why that elephant tossed you into the air that day?
That was a lesson I had to learn the hard way. Because I would never have believed that a wild elephant, after how they've been treated in Tsavo, the poaching, would actually approach a strange human being. But that's where I was wrong. I was looking for Eleanor, who was an orphan when she was two, that was now living wild with the wild herds.
But you had raised her.
Yes. And often I used to find her amongst the wild herd as we traveled around the park. And I'd think, well, maybe she's in that herd, call her. She'd come out and greet me and we'd spend a little time together and she'd go back to the wild herd. So we were looking for Eleanor. I had one of our important donors with us. And we were at this little waterhole and this elephant came. And the ridiculous thing is that it didn't look like Eleanor. And I said, I'm sure that's not her. And he said, oh, how disappointing. So I said, well, we'll soon find out. I'll call her. And if it's Eleanor, she'll come to me. And if it's not, she obviously won't. Well, I was absolutely amazed when this cow walked right up to me and we were able to touch her. And I thought, well, I must be going a bit mad or you know, getting a bit old. But I said, my first words were, Eleanor, you've put on weight because she looked different. And then I noticed that the eyes were very pale. And I always remembered Eleanor's eyes are dark. Anyway, I thought this has to be her. And my friend said, can you go and stand next to her? And I put my hand up behind her ear, which I usually did. And she just tossed me with using her trunk and the tusk.
And you knew right away that you'd been badly injured and feared for your life. Couldn't she have killed you then if she'd wanted to?
Of course she could have. She could have killed me with a swipe of the trunk.
So instead she tried to help you. Why do you think that was?
She knew who I was. She was actually Eleanor's best friend. And this is a lesson I had to learn the hard way. I then understood, and I've since learned, raising the many orphans, we've raised over 140, that elephants can communicate a very sophisticated message to one another, because some of our grown orphaned elephants now have recruited wild elephant orphans into their unit, and these are elephants that are teenagers, very big, and they will actually walk with the keepers amongst the orphans and be perfectly, you wouldn't know they weren't orphans themselves. We don't actually handle them, but they can be as close as I am to you without being in the least bit aggressive.
Well, this suggests that there's a real sense of family here. And you, as somebody who's raised some of them, would be seen as a member of the elephant family.
Exactly. You know, the family is the most important thing to an elephant. And they're very human animals emotionally. They duplicate us emotionally and in age progression and longevity as well. And they have many attributes that we don't have. And I often say it takes 2 years to make an elephant, only 9 months to make a man.
Now, Kenya is a country that went through a very difficult time before it was given independence. Was your family there for a long time before the country gained independence?
Oh, yes. My father came to Kenya in 1907 as a child of seven, and I was born there and grew up on a highland farm amongst animals when they were prolific everywhere. And then sort of married into the Wildlife Service and lived in Tsavo National Park with my late husband and was able then to study the habits of wild elephants. But it's only when you actually raise an orphan that you begin to understand the mind.
Now, a lot of people left Kenya after the unrest in the decade leading up to 1963 and independence. What did you suffer any problems?
Yes, we were once ambushed in an ambush by Mau Mau insurgents, as they were called then. I very nearly, I mean, had they been able to stop the car, I would have obviously been killed. I was heavily pregnant with my first daughter at the time. And very fortunately, you know, we managed to escape that.
And now families like yours and the Leakeys are considered respected parts of Kenyan society.
Yes, we're white Kenyans, basically.
You said that you decided to write a book, which you've dedicated to your late husband, the widely respected naturalist and park warden, David Sheldrick, during your agonizing wait for help after the elephant attack. You were lying on the ground. You thought, I'm going to have to write a book?
I've written other books before this one, but I knew that I should write an autobiography and also write everything I'd learnt about elephants after that attack. And we're raising the orphans since then. But I'm not a very disciplined writer, and so, you know. But then I decided I've got to do this. I'm very lucky to have escaped, got away with my life today, and this is something I want to do before I go.
Well, in this country, this definitely is being promoted as a story about somebody who worked with elephants. But elsewhere, hasn't it been sold more as a love story?
It's both, you know, a great love of animals and of nature and of wildlife, and also a tremendous love of my late husband. We had a wonderful marriage.
You went to the Tsavo National Park with another husband, didn't you?
I did. I met my first husband when I was 15 years old and still a schoolgirl. Never had another boyfriend. Married him when I was 18. Had my first daughter when I was 20. He was then the assistant warden in Tsavo National Park, and we both grew up. And he fell in love with somebody else, and I fell in love with David.
In fact, you've said you were drawn to David in part by your shared passion for Africa's wildlife and your desire to preserve it. When you and David were married a few years later, you say you felt that you'd found your soulmate.
I certainly did. You know, we had a wonderful relationship, and I admired everything about him. He really was a fantastic person.
But he died very young.
He did. He died at 56, and I was only 41 or 2 when he died. So it's been quite a long haul without him. But since then, I've devoted my life to helping wildlife, and particularly the elephants.
And you've done that through the David Sheldrick Wildlife Trust?
Yes, we established that in memory of my late husband. It wasn't my idea. It was the idea of all his friends. And the trust has prospered thanks to the support we've had, you know, from the general public, because I think in life you reap what you sow.
The group is probably best known for its work with elephants. Are elephants your main focus?
No, all animals are. I've had others that are equally as loved and equally as special, particularly the antelopes.
But elephants, do they remember as well?
Absolutely. But elephants have been the most challenge, the biggest challenge that I've faced, because it's such a long-term thing. At any age, an elephant duplicates a human, so they're with us for at least 10 years.
My guest is Dame Daphne Sheldrick. Her book, her latest book, Love, Life, and Elephants, an African Love Story. When you first arrive at Tsavo National Park, two young elephants, you've named them all, Samson and Fatuma, were already being fostered by David Sheldrick, and you joined in their care. How had the parents been killed?
Poached for ivory. You know, some elephants have fallen in wells, some drought conditions. During drought, they're very vulnerable. They need a lot of food, and they're very fragile animals, in fact, although they're big and strong. So Samson and Fatuma, I think, could have been either drought or poached. We're not sure.
Well, how big a problem was poaching in Tsavo when you arrived?
It was terrible, and the colonial government put aside everything to combat the poaching, got complete control of it in the 60s. There wasn't a single elephant poached in Tsavo, to our knowledge, during the 60s. But then it became absolutely terrible, and after David died, there was complete mayhem for 30 years. And the population went from 45,000 in the ecosystem, that's 16,000 square miles, to 6,000.
Is it mostly for the tusks, or are people eating elephants?
No,
as
no,
well?
They weren't eating elephants. It was the ivory. And the ivory is, the poaching is driven by the demand in the Far East, China particularly. In those days, more it was Japan. But now that there's a wealthier population in China that can afford ivory, it's become very socially acceptable to own a piece of ivory.
And it can be dangerous to fight those poachers. Richard Leakey thinks that he may very well have lost his legs because his helicopter was tampered with when he was fighting poachers.
I think most people believe that, yes.
I'm assuming that Samson and Fatuma were about 2 years old when they were orphaned because they were thriving when you first met them. At the time, wasn't it impossible to keep an elephant alive who'd lost its mother before it was weaned?
Yes, elephants are milk dependent for 3 years. But if they orphaned at about two, you can get them through with a lot of help, with sweet potato tops, a lot of fruit, artificial food. We never feed any of our elephants any of that because it turns them into problem animals. They get a liking for it, and then they leave the boundaries of the park and go into habitation.
So you were giving them cow's milk initially?
We never managed to raise the infants during our time in Tsavo. And there was one little elephant that I managed to get to 6 months old, Aisha. Her story's in the book. And I made a mistake there with the husbandry. It's not just the milk formula. The milk has to be more or less right. No cow's milk fat. But it's the care as well.
Because you say that Aisha died when you had to leave her for a few weeks to attend your daughter's wedding. She'd become that attached?
Yes. And that's the mistake I made. The family is important. And so the orphans we raise now, we have a team of keepers that represent the herd. And every night in the nursery, when they're infants, there will be a different keeper sleeping with a different elephant. So we rotate them. And then also those keepers will go to the rehabilitation centers. And we have two in Tsavo now, so that all the elephants know all the men and all the men know all the elephants. So when the babies are moved from the nursery, they've been stabilized and healed psychologically and physically. Many of them come in with wounds and trauma. We take them down to Tsavo National Park and they will see and recognize the human family there.
How old was the elephant that you'd been looking for in 1994, Eleanor, when you first took her in?
She was about 2 years old.
And where had you found her?
She was actually orphaned in Samburu National Park, which is way north of Nairobi. And she was named Eleanor after the governor's wife, Lady Eleanor Renison.
And she stayed with you for how long?
She was moved to us she first of all was in the sort of zoo situation in Nairobi, but she was going to die there. And eventually my husband pleaded for her to come to Tsavo so she could join Samson and Fatuma and the other elephants that we had there by then. And she grew up to be the matriarch down there. And she took care of all the little orphans that came in during the terrible poaching time, and also the elephants that I managed to raise in Nairobi subsequent to my husband's death, send down to Eleanor. Now, the elephants that have lost their natural family have a great tendency to try and hijack the young of others to build another family. And Eleanor became pregnant. And when she was pregnant, she'd witnessed me coming with lots of new baby elephants, and thinking in an elephant way, she thought I might have taken them from their rightful mothers. So she left. She severed her ties entirely with us, having handed over her adopted orphan family to this cow, Catherine, the one that downed me, her best wild friend.
Mm-hmm.
And Eleanor became a wild elephant because she feared that we would take her calf.
But she still came up to you when you saw her? Every so often.
No, she hasn't actually come up to me since, but she has come to the orphans, the other orphans at their noon mud bath, and the keepers have photographed her. They don't know her because they were not there when she grew up, but they've sent the photograph to us, and it's definitely Eleanor.
Now, you discovered that the elephants require their own formula, which would be a mix of cow milk and coconut milk?
No, not the fat of cow's milk. We feed them on a baby infant formula, SMA Gold Cap, and coconut. A lot of the fat in that milk, it's all vegetable in origin, and coconut is a key ingredient. And we add extra coconut cream and extra calcium vitamin C.
You also wind up with other kinds of orphaned animals. You've had two rhinos, six buffaloes, a zebra, three ostriches. They don't get along in the wild. Do they get along with you?
It's like raising a dog and a cat. We never raised the big cats, lions and leopards and things, because it wouldn't have been fair to raise them alongside antelopes and zebras and things, which are prey animals. So, but, you know, any animal, if it's raised together, will become friends. And so, you know, just like a dog and a cat are in the wild, they would be natural enemies.
And unlike in the story of Born Free, these animals are in the middle of a park. They can wander off any time they want and return to the wild.
Yes, the secret of a wild animal is it doesn't like to be confined because they have a role within the environment that's in a genetic memory, and that we call instinct. So if you expose them to a wild situation, the instinct comes into play. And there comes a time with the antelopes and others, you have to open up the gates and let them go free. And then the instinct comes into play, and techniques about survival and everything is imprinted there.
Do they return for visits every so often?
Yeah, there's a saying, if you love an animal, set it free, and if it loves you, it will return.
Dame Daphne Sheldrick will be giving a talk and signing books at the American Museum of Natural History at 7 o'clock tonight. That's in the Kaufman Theater on Central Park West at 81st Street. Her book, Love, Life, and Elephants, An African Love Story, is published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.